Good morning. If you'll stand as you're able today. Today our scripture comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say, be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Then the peace of God that exceeds all understanding will keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. From now on, brothers and sisters, if anything is excellent, if anything is admirable, focus your thoughts on these things. All that is true, all that is holy, all that is just, all that is pure, all that is lovely, all that is worthy of praise. Practice these things, whatever you learned, received, heard, or saw in us. The God of peace will be with you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Shannon. Well, we are continuing on today in an exploration of foundational questions of our Christian faith. If you've been worshiping with us through January, that's when we began that journey. And boy, we've talked about the meaning of life, we've talked about the identity of Jesus and his saving power and love and his death and resurrection. And we've talked about that amazing grace that God pours out on us that we can experience in our faith. And today we're going to be talking about prayer. We're going to be talking about why and how should I pray? That's a very interesting question to ask in the context of where we are right now. I mean, after all, this is how we began with an opening prayer. We heard Lori talk all about prayer and the different ways to do that, and then she led a prayer, and then we had a prayer over the pillows and over the community just a few moments ago. We should be comfortable with prayer. But I'm thinking this is a great question to talk about, because if we are honest with one another, then we would know that praying isn't easy. Wasn't always that way, it seems. You know, when we were younger, it seemed to be easy to pray, right? It's as easy as, I don't know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I'll go on record saying I love that first part, second part not so much. But there was a comfort there knowing whether alive or dead, I'm still with God. But when we were younger, we could talk to God. We could ask God all sorts of questions easily. Not just me, not just you, but others. I happened across this wonderful list of sentence prayers from kids from around the country that I just had to share with you. I invite you to hear what was on their heart. Dear God, if you watch me in church on Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. Dear God, I bet it is very hard to love everyone in the whole world. There are only four people in our family, and I'm having a hard time loving all of them. Dear God, in Sunday school, they told us what you do. Who does it when you are on vacation? Dear God, is it true my father can't get into heaven if he uses his bowling words in the house? Dear God, did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was it an accident? Dear God, who draws the lines around the countries? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but I think you're confused because I prayed for a puppy. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. Dear God, I want to be just like Daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying. Dear God, of all the people who work for you, I like Noah and David the best. Dear God, I would like to live 900 years just like that guy in the Bible. Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you already have? Dear God, we read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school they said you did it, so I bet he stole your idea. Dear God, please send a new baby for mommy. The baby you sent last week cries too much. Dear God, could you please give my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any. Dear God, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weather people. Dear God, please help me in school. I need help in spelling and adding and history and geography and writing. I don't need help in anything else. Dear God, I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made on Tuesday. That was cool. Out of the mouth of babes, right? Somehow, when we've gotten older, praying has gotten a little bit more difficult. Or maybe I'll rephrase that a little bit. Praying has made us a little bit more self-conscious and uncomfortable. If you grew up outside of the Christian faith tradition, or really any faith tradition, maybe prayer is just a strange thing all the way around, these words that we say to God. For those of us that did grow up in the church, maybe we're self-conscious about the way we pray or how often we pray. Maybe you've come into this place today and we're so thankful that we have these moments when we can pray, and then you realize, you know, I didn't pray Monday through Saturday at all. And why? Too busy? Too distracted? Or maybe we just forgot. It's not always easy for us to pray. And that's why it's important to talk about the whys and hows of prayer. And so that's what we're going to do right now. And as we do, I've got to tell you, we've got to start with the what. What is prayer? Last week we talked about our faith. And our faith is how we respond to God's love through God's grace in our lives. But our faith doesn't exist in a vacuum, does it? No, our faith in God, with God, exists in a relationship, amen? We are in a relationship with God. Now, here's another question for you. With love as its foundation, what is one of the most important tools in a relationship? I knew there would be crickets out there. Did you look at my notes? You're absolutely right. Communication. Communication is one of the most important tools. When I do any kind of counseling with folk, that's what we talk about. Usually when relationships struggle, it's because people just don't talk to each other anymore. Communication is important. It's the same thing with God. I think sometimes we think, well, God already knows what's going on in my life. I don't need to pray to God. But the thing is, you're in relationship with God. And when you don't communicate with other people in your relationship, what happens is that you start taking other people for granted. The same thing happens when you're not talking to God. You start taking God for granted. God is not going to take you for granted. But we start to take God for granted. Prayer is regular communication with God. Can we all agree to that? And it's important. But I would share with you in the Methodist faith tribe that we would understand prayer as something more. Stephen Mansgar, who's a director of Wesleyan leadership for the discipleship ministries for the United Methodist Church worldwide, would say, He'd say that John Wesley would say that prayer is a means of grace. And what the means of grace is a practice, a ritual, an object, something that connects us to the peace and the presence and the power of God. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is communication with God, but prayer also does something. It opens up our hearts so that we are open to God's love more and more. But not only that, we are open to God's transforming power in prayer. Have you ever been transformed in prayer? Do you have that expectation when you go to God in prayer? Because prayer is an active thing. We are actively engaged. Prayer isn't just simply just something that we mumble words on a Sunday. Prayer requires something of us, and God works through our prayers. So have you been transformed? Well, I think many of you have. You know, several years ago, actually it's probably about a while back, I had a really solid stewardship team that I met with at this church, and we met year after year after year, and they were excited and they were strong. And then one year, as we were talking about stewardship and about how we share ourselves in our community and love, then all of a sudden my stewardship team in prayer started getting this idea. And this idea became what we know as our community meals that we had here at our church every Wednesday evening. We would feed anywhere from 100 to 150 people, sometimes more, if it was biscuits and gravy night especially. We would feed more, and it was a ministry that went beyond our means. This only came about through prayer. It transformed my stewardship team, where they didn't become my stewardship team anymore. They became the Wednesday night community meal team. Now, I have to say, I mourn the loss of my stewardship team, but they were transformed in prayer into being a part of another ministry, a ministry that we are praying for to come back soon, probably in a different way than we've done it in the past, but one way where we can connect with our community. But what a blessing that was. Do you all remember just a few years ago, pre-COVID, how wonderful those Wednesday nights were? Building relationships, 3/4 of those people were not part of our church, but we built relationships with them as Jesus would. It's a great time. Tammy and I are blessed to have Rob and Jenny Allen as our neighbors. Live catty corner across the street. And, you know, in my conversations with Rob, every once in a while, just in my mind and in my heart, my heartstrings just tug. Because I remember Rob when I first came here. Rob used to sing with the praise team during our crossing service, and he was active. And God was working in his life. He had begun work with Pastor Scott Bailey Kirk before I got here, and then we continued the conversation when I was here. And in prayer, Rob was wrestling with his call to ministry. Do I go into ministry? I've got this day job up in the city. But I'm feeling in my heart that I want to serve God more. And long story short, Rob is preaching this morning as pastor of Holden United Methodist Church. And it's just a great joy every time I see him. Rob doesn't know this, and I don't tell him this all the time, but I thank God every time that I see him of how God worked in his heart. And he knew and he was assured of God's calling on his life. Where? Through prayer. Because his heart was transformed. God works in all of our hearts with prayers. This is why we should pray, by the way. Have you noticed how the water prayer kind of went into why we should pray? We should pray because prayer is a channel of God's grace. It's a means of God's grace in our lives. So I've talked about what, kind of slid into why. Let's talk about how. Actually, Lori was part of the conversation on how, when she talked about positioning in prayer. This is a big question. We could also talk about techniques of prayer, right? Centering prayer. Lectio Divina, which is a fancy name for praying the scriptures. Walking prayer. All sorts of techniques of prayer that we could engage in. But today, I'm going to talk more and more about content, because I think that's what the Apostle Paul was getting at. You know, when we heard those words from Shannon earlier today, it's important to know who Paul was talking to when he wrote this letter, when he dictated this letter. He was talking to disciples of Jesus in the Philippi churches, and those churches, those members, were facing some hard times. They were facing persecution. They were facing struggles within their own faith and how they practice it. They were feeling the pinch. And Paul knew all about that, right? After all, he wrote this letter from prison. And so I want you to hear these words again, and I want you to hear these words knowing where he is, knowing where they are, knowing where many of us might find ourselves in our lives. Paul says this, he says, "Be glad in the Lord always." No matter where you are, no matter what's going on in your life, be glad in the Lord always. Again, I say be glad. Let your gentleness show in your treatment of all people. How wonderful is that? The Lord is near. Say that with me. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Rather, bring up all your requests to God in your prayers and petitions, along with giving thanks. Now, I want to stop there right now, because what I see in Paul's words are some simple instructions in how we can pray. And actually, these simple instructions come from Alpha founder Nicky Gumbel. And he sees these same principles within the Lord's Prayer. But you know what? In Lent, we're all going to be about the Lord's Prayer. So, preview about what we're going to talk about during the month of March and April. But in Paul's instruction, we have these ways that we can pray, and it's pretty simple. When we pray, we can say thank you. We can say sorry. And we can say please. Now, Paul himself singles out giving thanks, and so I want to start with that one. See, when we go to God, that's probably one of the first things that we should do. The God, creator of all the universe, who gave us the gift of his Son, who died on a cross for us and then resurrected in love, and now through the power of the Holy Spirit we experience, gives us life. And friends, we should not take that for granted. We should give thanks, amen? Every day we should give thanks. But this is one of the things that in the pressure of life and in the cauldron of everything that we've, in the pot we find ourselves in, I'll put it that way, we forget to give thanks. We think, oh, everything is terrible. Everything is bad. It may be, but there's still something in our lives for which we can give thanks. When we pray to God, it helps us to not only engage in the spiritual discipline, the communication with God in prayer, but also it allows us to engage in a spiritual discipline of gratitude. We get to cultivate the attitude of gratitude. And friends, when you allow more and more gratitude to enter your heart, that truly transforms how you see this world. In prayer, we can say thank you. In prayer, we can say sorry. And this isn't just a simple sorry. Sorry, God. You know, I used to kind of, now that I think about it, I was kind of mean to my kids a little bit. There's an REM song that I dearly love called South Central Rain. And there's a chorus to that song where they go, sorry. And it goes on and on, sorry. When my kids would apologize and they weren't being what I thought authentic, I would sing that to them. They go, Dad, you are being mean. And yeah, I was. And I apologized as well by singing Sorry Again. No. When we express our sorrow to God in being sorry, what we're actually doing is we are making an effort to repent, to turn our life toward God and God's love, right? To turn away from our own inner self-interest and now turn to God and to turn to love. And that's what saying sorry is all about. There's that powerful verse, we all prayed it together in the Lord's Prayer, wasn't there? And we'll talk more about this in March or April, but forgive our trespasses, and it doesn't end there, does it? Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A conditional clause in that prayer. Boy, doesn't that convict us. The more that we experience God's forgiveness, I believe, allows us to forgive others more. And as we forgive others more, I believe that allows us to accept God's forgiveness of us. Because it's a relationship. We can pray thank you. We can pray sorry. And we can pray please. Paul talks about prayers and petitions. It's the petitions that we make to God where we are petitioning God. We're saying, Lord God, please. Lord God, please give us this day our daily bread. Lord God, please give us life. Lord God, please help those people in our lives that need help. Lord God, bring your peace. Please. And again, we come to God and we say, Lord, we are yours. Help us, please. So that's a simple way that you could focus your prayers. Again, we could talk about this all day. I know there's fear in your hearts right now. You're saying, Lord, please, make him be short. So I am. One other thing I want to talk about with you is this. So you pray. Maybe you get up in the morning and you pray. Maybe in the evening before you go to bed you pray. But man, you just do not hear God answer your prayers. Does prayer work? Does God listen? Does God care? It can be tough sometimes, can't it? It can be real easy to fall away from faith if something happens and you don't hear God's answer to your prayer. God, friends, I want to share some assurance with you. God does listen, and God does care for each one of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be a witness to what God has done in our lives and the lives of others. But personally, we still yearn to hear that answer from God. And you've heard this before. God can answer your prayers. God can say yes. Just like God did with that stewardship team that became a community meal team. God said yes to that vision of a ministry. Now, it was way different in the end what it started out as, but God transformed that in God's yes. God can say, wait a minute. How many of you have experienced God's wait? I experienced God's wait in wanting to go into ministry. I announced my call into ministry, and by golly, I was wanting to get into it. All my friends and colleagues started getting churches all around me. I'm going, but I was working as a computer programmer, and I was working as a part-time youth pastor at the time, and later a minister of growth and outreach. We called it Minister of Go. And all those times, it's like I kept hearing, no, it's not time yet. Until about 21 years ago, when Tammy and I were first appointed. I say my spouse because that's what happens. It's not just the pastor that's appointed. It's the spouse of the pastor as well. It wasn't time when I wanted it to be, but it became time. And sometimes, friends, God answers no. And we keep hoping for that yes, but God answers no, and we can't help but trust in those situations. We trust that God is good and that God loves us. It's like Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom once said, you're on a train and it goes into a tunnel and all goes dark. You don't throw away your ticket and jump off the train. You sit still and you trust the driver. Friends, when we are in prayer, in our prayers and petitions, and in giving thanks, then our hearts are open to experiencing God's love and God's transformation in a way that they're not before. And in being open to God's love, then we begin to perhaps see where God is answering our prayers. I would encourage you, friends, every day to find time, to find place, to engage your God in prayers. Paul was telling the Philippians and telling us, when we pray, then we experience that peace of Christ that exceeds all understanding, so that our hearts and minds are safe in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? May we experience that peace. May we be transformed. And may we be channels of God's love as we continue to communicate to God. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Amen.